This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. They get your attention when you walk through a bookstore, and they capture your eye when you're riding on the bus or the train. We're talking about the romance novel, a kind of glossy cover that promises a steamy love story between two people who end up living happily ever after. I mean, it's not always Fabio winning the hearts of damsels in distress. The new documentary, Love Between the Covers, explores the world of romance fiction. It shows a billion-dollar industry full of complex and diverse characters and a strong community of women that fuel the big business. Love Between the Covers screens at the Durham County Library on Saturday at 3 o'clock. It's followed by a panel with romantic fiction writers. Joining me now is romance novelist Jennifer Lohman. Jennifer is also the adult services manager for the Durham County Library and moderator for Saturday's panel. Welcome, Jennifer. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me here.
And also with us by phone is Lori Kahn. Lori is the director of the film Love Between the Covers. Hello, Lori.
Hi, thanks for having me, too.
It's a pleasure. Let me start with you and ask why you pursued this as the subject of your documentary.
I am really interested in telling stories that nobody else is telling, and I think that women's stories are not told not nearly often enough. And all of my films that I've made as an independent producer have been about these very strong communities of women. And women's communities work in a different way than other communities. And, here's this billion-dollar business that nobody, pays attention to or respects. It's interesting to me, just that is like a green light for me. It's worth exploring.
Well, tell us more about this community. You went to the Romance Women's Writers Association, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went to the conference and talked to some women.
So I went many years to the Romance Writers of America conference, and unlike other writers' conferences, the Romance Writers of America don't require that you're already published. It's like, come on in, sister, and not only are you welcome here if you're an aspiring writer, we'll also teach you how to write a novel and how to market your novel, how to do social networking, how to write a convincing knife fight. The workshops they have are run the gamut, and there's a real pay-it-forward attitude. Like, somebody helped me when I got started, so I'm going to turn around and help somebody who's behind me.
That's great, and you talked to a number of the writers at, among the many conferences you've been to. Here's a clip from one of them.
I just got rushed by, like, these 12 women, and they were giving me presents, and they wanted their pictures taken with me, and the science fiction fantasy community is a little more hands-off, so everyone else's fan was like, hello, how are you? It's nice to meet you. I enjoyed your use of the ray gun on page 70.
Well, part of RWA is that you can join RWA if you're kind of like, I'm thinking someday about writing a romance novel, and it's like, come on in, sister, there's room for you here.
A clip from the romantic fiction authors reading and readers from the documentary Love Between the Covers. The documentary screens this Saturday at the Durham County Library, and I'm talking with the film's director, Lori Kahn, and Jennifer Lohman is with me as well. She's a romance writer. Lori, let me ask you, because part of that clip also suggested that the community is more than just writers, that the readers make up a part of that community, and it's a very different kind of reader relationship with the writer.
Absolutely. It's a really... I was surprised to see how intimate the relationship is. I mean, readers are talking with their favorite authors online all the time, and also readers discover each other because they love the same authors. And these people, like, I went with one of the authors who takes trips with her readers every year to the places where her romance novels are set. And they're not only, like, companions on these trips exploring history, but they also look out for each other. I mean, they're there for each other when someone has cancer, when somebody, when somebody graduates. I mean, they're cheering each other on and offering support. And it's not like others. I mean, so many people talk about fan communities, where you've got a whole bunch of people who gather at a conference in costumes and they love the same thing. They figured out how to turn this into real, lasting friendships.
Jennifer Lohman, let me ask you about, you're a writer.
Yes.
How did you get into this? What made you want to be a writer?
I started reading romances when I was in high school, like most of the readers. And I think when I started library school, I thought, oh, I can do this. I can make this happen. And I just started writing. Then when I won the RWA Librarian of the Year Award and I went to the conference, I was like, I can definitely do this. There is nothing about this that I can't do. And so I got serious about it and was published a couple years later.
Well, what about this business of the relationship between the fan, between the reader and the writer? I mean, did you feel strongly like a strong connection with the writers of the books that you were reading?
Yes. One of the best things about being published was getting feedback from those writers. I remember the first signing I was at, Molly O'Keefe, whose books I love, came up to me and told me that she thought I was a fresh voice. And I nearly fell out of my chair because I love her books. I have them. And she was reading me. And that was amazing.
Laura, this is kind of an interesting, it seems to me, relationship. If you think about romantic fiction, I think of it in terms of the ultimate escape kind of fantasy, the escape kind of fiction. But when you talk about readers and writers caring about their own personal lives, really, the idea that you would, through the vehicle of escape, find more meaningful relationships with a fan base and a group of writers is paradoxical and kind of wonderful.
It is. I completely agree. And I think that it's also not just escape. I think that these, you know, romance novels hold out the hope that there can be a lasting, meaningful, nonviolent, respectful relationship. And that these characters in the story, whether it's a man and a woman, two men, two women, a vampire and a woman, whatever, that they had to work hard in the book. And at the end, they got their happy ending because they became better people. They made each other better people. And you know, it's not unlike, you know, a mystery. At the beginning, it's, you know, dead body. By the end, it's solved, and it's all about how. How do they get their happy ending?
Well, Jennifer, tell us about the kind of novels, where they're set, and the sort of the basis for your novels.
I write contemporary romance novels, so they're set in the present time. I have three books set in Chicago. I actually have two books set here in Durham. And I have one book set at a ski resort. They are about a woman's journey. I primarily focus on the woman, what she has to do and what she has to learn to be open and accepting of a long-term partnership in her life and how she has to change, not so much to earn the love of the man, but to just be a more full self of who she is, to be more her.
Will you read for us from one of your novels? Maybe you'll tell us which one you're reading from.
I am reading from Winning Ruby Hart. It is the story of Ruby Hart, who was an Olympic runner. She lost her medals because she doped. And 5 years later, the reporter who exposed her cheating is back in her life. And he is interviewing her. She has started running ultra marathons, which is the only thing she's not banned from doing. You're running again. Pleasure brightened her skin. I am, and it's the most glorious thing in the world. You've run two ultra races, and there are more in the future. Yes. Energy poured out of her, changing her from meek to a woman people would want to get behind, to root for, if only to be a part of what changed her from rigid to strong. Planning on winning any? Right now, I'm grateful to be among athletes again. A BS answer. The kind every athlete would give. But it didn't matter. Anyone watching her on screen would be able to see that, yes, Ruby Hart had her eye on a first-place finish. And whether or not they rooted for her or against her, she had their attention now. There are plenty of people who say you should have been banned from all competition for life. They won't like that you're running again. She stiffened. Though the fight in her eyes should concern whoever her anger was directed at, even if it was directed inward. What I did was wrong, but I've served the punishment handed down to me. I love to run. If people who come out to watch an ultra don't want to see me, they can turn their backs as I run past. Everyone working in the studio blinked in unison. Ruby Hart had given the quote of the interview, and probably the quote of the week. The rest of the interview finished uneventfully. Whether it would be a success or not depended on whether people watched the interview or listened to it while busying about the kitchen. He wanted to say goodbye to Ruby, arrange a time for them to talk about the series, see the flush of excitement on her skin up close. But by the time someone removed his mic, she was gone. Ruby Hart back to running.
Jennifer Lohman reading from her book, Winning Ruby Hart. Now, I'm talking with Jennifer about the romantic fiction industry. I'm also talking with documentary filmmaker Lori Kahn. Lori directed the documentary Love Between the Covers, and that movie screens this Saturday at the Durham County Library. What you have there, it sounds just from that little excerpt, is a woman who has some control over her life and is looking at the world in a way that is show some agency. She's got a little bit of control over what's going on.
That's part of what her journey is about. When she starts the book, she is nervous about being herself. She is a strong, athletic, forceful, competitive woman. And until she accepts that part of her and is willing to try and win again, despite all the vitriol that she will hear being a famous woman, until she is willing to do that, she can't have the happily ever after. She can't live the life that she wants to live.
Well, Lori, this suggests the way romance novels have changed over time and this business of agency and women having agency. I think in a lot of ways it gets to some of the misunderstanding about the Taming of the Shrew. Kate changes, but not in a way that is meant to please her man, but in a way that it allows her to become fully human. Feminists might disagree with that, but there's a literary reading of Taming of the Shrew that says that's her change, not like Bianca's change. Be a sweet little gal that the guys are going to like. Is this transformation? You don't have to agree with me on Taming of the Shrew, by the way, but what I'm saying is, has this kind of transformation taken place where women are still involved in romance but have a little more control, a little more agency in their lives, Lori?
Yeah, I'd say a lot more control in romance fiction. So back in the day, you know, when Harlequin basically controlled the romance novel industry, I think that there were, and also before that, so from the 1940s forward to like the 80s, your typical heroine was more passive and was virginal. And what people don't realize, they remember those novels, is that now there's been this explosion in the romance novel fiction field, and there are all kinds of romances, and most of the heroines are pretty kick-ass heroines who are strong, and there are a few virginal, sort of passive heroines out there, but very few. And the women who you see as heroines are, you know, CEOs and actresses and surgeons and firefighters and people who run knitting shops. I mean, there's a huge range.
We're also exploring more deeply issues of race, gender, yeah. Gender identity. Tell us about how that has changed, Lori.
Well, the people, two of my main characters, one of them is a surgeon who writes lesbian romance and now has a publishing house to support lesbian and gay fiction. And another one is an African-American author. And they were really not welcome until, you know, the late 1980s. A lot of people had written books and kept them in their drawers, and that field has completely opened up as well. And those folks are now being welcomed in the larger romance community.
Well, here's a clip of Beverly Jenkins, who you mentioned just a second ago.
You have a lot of people who may not have wanted to buy an African-American book with an African-American cover. Well, honey, if you can relate to shapeshifters and werewolves and chameleon people, but you can't relate to an African-American story, that's a problem for me. But it's not going to stop me from writing.
There's a clip of romance writer Beverly Jenkins from the documentary Love Between the Covers, a documentary that screens Saturday at the Durham County Library. I'm talking with the film's director, Lori Kahn, and romance writer Jennifer Lohman. That said, the diversity among readers seems a little bit low. 84% of romance buyers are women. Is that important to the genre? Is there any interest in seeing those dynamics change?
I think...
Go ahead, Lori.
I think it's a very female community. I think these are books where women are always center stage. That doesn't happen elsewhere very often. I mean, it's guaranteed that a woman will be one of the main characters. And so they are books by women, for women, about women, and most of the readers are women. But other than that, it's across different income levels, education levels, race, sexuality. I mean, the readers come from all kinds of backgrounds, but they are predominantly female.
Jennifer?
I would add that when Harlequin and Mills and Boone are getting started in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, they're promoting to women exclusively romance novels are a gift with purchase when you buy maxi pads. They don't care about men and men's dollars in a way that even lipstick or perfume is still aimed at men. But when you're putting a romance novel in a box of Kotex, you don't care about men's money. Women's money is what's important to you. And women's entertainment and women's pleasure is what's important to you. And that still is at the core of the community today.
Well, look, we've talked about this being an all-embracing community that helps other writers. I think we have time for one quick call. Donette is in Durham, and I think she's got a request. Hello, Donette.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. You got a question for us?
First of all, I just want to say that I'm super fascinated by this conversation. I have also been reading historical romance mostly since high school, and everything y'all are talking about is so interesting to me. I'm also a writer. I feel like love stories are just the most important stories to be told. But I also just want to say how important it is that we have, you know, increasingly strong feminist-oriented, stories and characters to get interested in. I grew up on, like, Julie Garwood and Joanna Lindsay and, you know, these kind of writers. And I think particularly the, like, fantasy or sci-fi or futuristic romance would introduce these, like, you know, badass, like, warrior women, women with magical powers, you know, women, Amazon-type women who were just really exciting to read. And I think that, you know, growing up as like a teenager or my 20s, having characters like that to get excited about and also know that you could be that way and also find love, you know, that it wasn't that you had to sort of choose to be passive and find a straight dude who'll like you, that you could actually be really amazing and badass and powerful and still be desirable. I just think that's super awesome, and I want to see this film this weekend.
Great stuff. Thanks for calling, Donna. I don't know if you have a response to that, Lori or Jennifer.
That's the appeal, is that no matter who you are as a woman, you deserve love. And no matter what you've been through, what has happened in your past, how horrible it was or how wonderful it was, everybody out there deserves and works for and can have love, and that's a powerful thing.
Lori, were you about to say something?
Oh, I agree, and I'm delighted that the caller is going to be at the screening. I wish I could be there, and it sounds like a fabulous panel has been set up, so everybody who comes, please enjoy it.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Lori Kahn is a romantic fiction writer. Jennifer Lohman, Lori Kahn is a documentary filmmaker. She's made the film that Love Between the Covers, and that's going to screen at 3 o'clock on Saturday at the Durham County Library. Jennifer Lohman is a fiction writer. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The documentary Love Between the Covers screens Saturday at 3 o'clock at the Durham County Library. It's followed by a panel discussion, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, an actress explores a decades-long dispute over the land in her hometown in a new one-woman play. Coming up on The State of Things. Stay with us.